Project Independence is the Aging in Place initiative of the Town of North Hempstead. Some of the many services we offer include nursing and social work services. Call 311 or 869-6311 to get more information or receive services.
Welcome back to Senior Talk Radio here on 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. This is Project Independence in You. I'm your host, John Ryan. My co-host today is Otto Loos. And we have been having a wonderful conversation with our Congressman Tom Suozzi, and we're going to continue. This is our last segment. It goes so fast. Otto has a question, but before we get to Otto's question, I do want to touch base a little bit more, because some people pay attention to things, and there are even seniors that aren't, and this is one of the importances of this program. Tom, would you just touch base again? You mentioned it earlier about Mitch McConnell and what he came out to say, because I know people have said, what are you talking about? And unless you catch the news every night, what that man said was just sheer lunacy, destructive, et cetera, and self-serving for his states, but not for the states like America, like New York, when you were explaining before. I just want to touch on that for a minute, and then we'll go to Otto.
So Mitch McConnell is a senator from Kentucky, one of the two senators from Kentucky, and he is the majority leader of the United States Senate. He's the big boss of the most important deliberative body in the world. So he's a pretty powerful position. And Mitch McConnell came out the other day and said, you know, I don't think that we should be giving aid to the states and to the local governments. They should just declare bankruptcy, which is not even legal. The state's not even permitted to declare bankruptcy. They should just declare bankruptcy, get out of all their contracts with everybody, and they should why should we bail out these blue states? Why should we bail out New York and California and Illinois just because they're going through this tough time right now with the coronavirus, tougher than other places? So that reminded me of when Gerald Ford said to New York, drop dead, back in the 70s, you know, good luck, guys, you know, drop dead. And so what I point out, and what the governor points out, is that New York State sends more money to the federal government than we get back every year. Kentucky, where Mitch McConnell is from, takes more money from the federal government than they pay every year. So the states like New York are subsidizing the federal government. We're net donors to the federal government. And states like Kentucky are net takers from the federal government. In fact, over the past 5 years, New York has sent $114 billion more to the federal government than we got back in food stamps and Social Security and government contracts and stuff like that. And Kentucky has taken $150 billion more in federal subsidies than they have paid in over the past 5 years. So we are, in effect, subsidizing Kentucky. In fact, most of the blue states are net donors. Most of the red states, with the exception of Texas, are net takers. So when they talk about bailing out New York, we bail out the country every year. Now, we've got a lot of wealthy people here, obviously, but they're trying to chase them out of our state because they got rid of the state and local tax deduction, which is causing a lot of wealthy people to move away, move to Florida, move to Arizona, move to North Carolina, move to South Carolina. And what happens? The rest of us get stuck holding the bag. And that was a conscious decision by Mitch McConnell and others to try and hurt our state. I looked it up the other day. In 1962, when I was born, New York State had 45 members of the 435 members in Congress. 45 of the 435 members of Congress. Today, we have 27 members of the 435 members of Congress. We're losing influence every year, and they're trying to chase more out by not doing the census properly, by putting this cap on the SALT deduction. So we got to fight for New York every day. We had a fight after 9/11. We had a fight after Sandy. Now we got to fight again to make sure New York gets its fair share. And that's what I'm doing every day.
Thank you, Tom. That was absolutely wonderful. Thank you. And it's much more understandable for people listening. And it also is a credit. And this is my last compliment for Tom.
Keep them coming.
It's a credit for what you do and how you represent us. That's why we wanted you on the show. Otto, go to your question now.
Well, first of all, I want to compliment you, John. Right? You speak well about Tom, and I feel the same way. And you do a great job on what you do in the town of North Hempstead. So
thank you.
Leave it at that.
You really do, John. We're lucky to have you. You're a great guy. You're a great guy, great person, great leader. We're lucky to have you. You're not a bad radio host either.
Okay, you heard that.
My question is kind of a layperson's question. You know, we talk about knocking off $2 trillion or $500 billion like we're knocking off M&Ms. And I guess most people's question would be, okay, we're going to do that. What does that mean? Are we just printing more money? How does that, without getting too deep into it, I know it's complicated.
It's very complicated. You know, state and local governments are required to balance their budget every year. They're not supposed to go into deficit. The federal government does go into deficit. And when the economy is down, economic policy has proven that if the government spends more money, often printing money, like you said, or selling bonds and borrowing the money, it helps to stimulate the economy. So right now, the federal government, like never before, is trying to stimulate the economy. It's trying to keep things going. And the United States is much more powerful than a lot of other countries in the world, because even with us spending all this money and going into deficit, people still want to invest their money in the United States because they're more confident that the United States economy will come back. People would not want to lend money to, you know, let's say someplace in South America or someplace in Africa, because they wouldn't feel confident that that money would come back. In the United States, they're confident based upon our fundamentals that the economy will come back. Now, the challenge is you can't go into so much deficit spending that you kill the goose that laid the golden egg. You have to do it so that it brings the economy back in such a way that more people generate income and therefore pay taxes. More people have economic productivity and corporations make money, so they pay taxes. And more the economy is stimulated, the more revenue will come into the federal government. And then we have to see whether we have to look at taxes on other things or on high wealth individuals, which haven't, you know, were actually reduced recently, which is absurd. They did that to take away our SALT deduction. Whether we have to raise taxes again or we have to cut spending to try and reduce the deficits. People forget the fact that when Bill Clinton was the president of the United States of America, he eliminated all of the deficits that had been accumulated during the years of Ronald Reagan and pre-Ronald Reagan, and then President Bush. When Clinton was there, because the economy was booming so much, he actually raised taxes and he actually cut spending in certain programs, that he actually balanced the budget and we had surpluses in America. Deficits started to go up again after Clinton was there. You remember there's a lot of tax cuts by President George Bush, the son, and we went to war in Iraq and Afghanistan, and we got deficits again. Then the economy crashed while our deficits were already rising in 2008, and we, between the end of President Bush and the beginning of President Obama, the deficit skyrocketed because we had to spend so much money to bail out the country after the 2008 financial crisis meltdown. Well, now we're in a position where our deficits were already growing in America, and now we got hit with the coronavirus, and we're gonna balloon the deficits to extraordinary numbers, like the highest they've been since World War II as a percentage of the GDP. The challenge is gonna be, how do we stimulate the economy in a way, working together and focusing on certain industries in America, and it really requires us to all pull together to get the economy booming and get foreign investment in America so that we can generate enough revenues so we can pay off that deficit. And the same thing with reducing spending to help to pay off the deficit. So it's gonna be a big challenge, it's a big balance, but there's no question, Democrats, Republicans, economists of all different stripes agree that right now during this pandemic, during this crisis, we have to spend our way out of it. We have to stimulate the economy in order to make sure that people have enough money to pay for their basic expenses. to make sure that they can pay their rent, that they can buy their groceries, that they can do their basic stuff. That's why we did the $1,200 checks to people with $500 for the kids. That's why we did the unemployment insurance. That's why we did the PPP program to help small businesses so they would keep people on their payroll. That's why I would argue that we have to do a massive infrastructure project next, because that'll generate, people make a lot of money out of it, and individual workers will make money out of it, and it'll be solid middle-class jobs. So there's a lot to do. It's very confusing, but the only way we're going to do it is by working together. It's not all the Democratic ideas, not all the Republican ideas. It's finding the marriage between the two that can actually get done and move forward. So I'm trying to do that. We got to work together. You know, I'm a Democrat through and through. I'm voting for Joe Biden. But we have to recognize that to get things done in this country, we got to work with other people.
Bob, you want to say something? Then I'm going to go.
Oh, no. I just say good luck with that. And I agree 1,000%. And our upper leadership must be super difficult to deal with now when it comes to this, without getting into personalities. But we'll leave it at that.
Well, when I was a kid, I would have never, when I'm not a kid, when I was a young man, young mayor, Glenn Covey even, I would have never said this because I thought it was too trite. It was too like cliche. But you know, I'll say it now. Leadership matters.
Yes.
And
yes.
When you look at this crisis, you know, the great thing about Cuomo and the job that he's doing right now is and I went through this when I was county executive and mayor even, when you're in a crisis, you get opinions from a lot of different people. And with this coronavirus, you hear from the people say, well, we're going to push the economy. And you hear the other side say, well, we got to make sure people are safe with their health. And then you get this engineer, and then you get this doctor, and you get this expert, and this one, and that one. And you have to, as a leader, synthesize all that information and come out with a clear plan that is explainable to people and a direction in which way to go. That requires a lot of work and a lot of understanding of all these different components. That's one thing that Cuomo is showing he's so good at. And what the president, quite frankly, is not doing that good a job synthesizing all that information.
Agreed.
This is basically up. Our time, our hour is up with Tom Suozzi, the congressman from our district. But I want to tell everybody, or remind everybody, that Tom is in a primary June 23rd. And after listening to him for an hour this morning, you realize he's the man to keep in Washington. So he needs your support. And that's given to him by giving him your vote on June 23rd. I don't know how it's working out yet, to be honest with you. If it's going to be normal, they're going to make some changes, but that's it. Tom, I want to thank you from the bottom of my heart for coming on. This was a wonderful hour spent with you.
Well, John, God bless you. You're a wonderful guy. You do a great job. I wish you good health and strength during these difficult times. And Otto, I wish you the same. I hope that you both will be thriving and moving forward, and your families will be safe during this difficult time. God bless us all, and let's all work together.
Thank you.
Thank you so much. Perfect. You're listening to 88.1 FM and WCWP.org. We'll be back after the break.